privilege to read further from God's Word this morning from the Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. We'll read the first 10 verses and then verses 13 to 20. We dealt with the verses in between, the verses 11 to 12 in an earlier sermon. But now we want to think just specifically about the parable of the sower, as you have it in Mark, and as found also in Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8. Hear the word of the Lord. And he, Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered to him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Then we go to verse 13. And he said to them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away that word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise who are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So far, the word of God. The theme for the sermon is testing, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Your congregation belonging to Christ, do you think that this may be a fitting theme for a sermon on our text passage this morning? Our text this morning is the so-called parable of the sower. And we find it in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, all three gospel accounts. It has been called the parable about all parables. And this parable focuses on how do we hear God's word. And it focuses on our responsibility, truly to listen to God's word. It is striking what Jesus says in Mark 4, verse 13 to his disciples when they ask for further clarification on this parable. Jesus says then to them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" What comes across on Jesus' part here clearly is how fundamental and how urgent and relevant always is what the parable of the sower has to teach us. So again, let me mention testing. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. We use that phrase sometimes, don't we, when we test a PA system before a service or before a speech. We want to make sure that the sound system works well and that the words of the speaker or the preacher comes across clearly and is heard by all. Well, in this case, with the 1, 2, 3, 4, of course, I'm referring to the 4 types of soil that the seed of God's Word fell into, as Jesus told in this parable. In this parable, Jesus speaks, doesn't he, of 4 types of response to His Word. 4 ways of listening. In this parable, Jesus makes plain how all too many people who hear God's Word don't really listen to the message proclaimed. Oh, Jesus knows the human heart and mind as no other. And what perceptive teaching, searching teaching He also gives us in this parable. As we go through the parable, let's be amazed with Jesus' insight into the human heart. In connection now with our theme, testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, let's go through the parable under the following 3 points. First, the teacher calling for this testing. Second, the testing that is called for here. And third, the message and aim of Jesus the teacher with this parable. Thinking first of the teacher who gives this parable and calls for really hearing His Word as opposed to not actually hearing it. Shouldn't we just stop and be amazed with this teacher of the gospel? If you consider the facts, the day of Adam and Eve's fall into sin, already then God announced that He had a salvation plan that He promised and that He would accomplish to bring full deliverance from the curse and the guilt and the bondage and the punishment of sin. And we know too that message, that promise, all ultimately points to the God-sent, crucified, risen, and exalted Savior, Jesus Christ. But now think of it, how all through the Old Testament, and first I had a whole number of texts, but this one would get too long. All through the Old Testament, again and again, the Lord repeatedly calls to hear His Word. He sent out messengers and His prophets and His priests and kings who would remind the people of this one escape and only remedy from all sin and evil and its consequences. Over and over in the Bible, you find God calling to give ear to His gospel plan and gospel way. And Jesus now, notice, as God come in the flesh here on earth, He continued so with the pleading with the sons of men. In Luke 9:44, we hear Jesus saying to His disciples in connection with the gospel tidings that He was bringing, that He would fulfill. He's saying, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears," He says to His disciples. "Let these sayings sink down into your ears." And now with this parable of the sower too and the 4 soils that Jesus brings out on which the seed of the Word fell, it is clear Jesus is saying to us, make sure you're hearing and listening to the Word of God in truth. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Jesus begins His teaching with parables, especially with the parable of the sower. And that too just emphasizes and reinforces, doesn't it, the Lord's call to you and to me. Yet at any stage and age of our life, to take care truly to hear God's Word. I'm praying with this sermon now that everyone here will truly listen, young ones too, to the message of this divinely insightful, searching parable. It may be helpful here for us to ask some questions about Jesus' emphasis on really listening to the Word. What would be the reason for this emphasis also on Jesus' part? Isn't it true Jesus knows of mankind's natural tendency not to listen to His Word? The whole Old Testament also gives us such a sad history of how not only the world in general, the heathen nations, but also God's covenant people, again and again, wouldn't pay close attention to what God had said, to what He had promised time and again. And Jesus saw that same inattention and not taking seriously God's Word all around Him in His own day among the covenant people then. Don't we see it in general today too? Alas, even in the church world in general. So many don't really pay attention to what the Word has to say. In all too many churches, even the Word isn't even read. Dear congregation, isn't it true? God repeatedly calling us truly to hear Him brings out loud and clear we are by nature not inclined to hear Him. The sad reality is all people since the fall into sin have by nature closed their ears to God and His Word. We naturally tune Him out so easily and so often. Of ourselves, we don't care to hear God's Word, and we would rather listen to everything else and everyone else but God. Are you convicted of this yourself, personally, too? All the repeated calls to hear the Word of God truly is very humbling, if you think about it. How often must God call us for us to hear Him and what He has to say? After so long of speaking to us, after so long of speaking with you too, are you still maybe not listening to Him? Anyone here among us? Have you ever thought, after so long of too much not listening by us, why doesn't the Lord just stop speaking with us and calling us to hear Him and His Word? Well, that question brings me to another truth that we can and should learn from God's repeated call truly to listen to His Word. Not only does this show our natural hardness of heart before God, our dullness of heart of hearing Him and His Word, but you agree too, the fact that He keeps calling proves so as well God's graciousness and His long-suffering towards us. His repeated calling to us also now today to make sure you really listen to His Word. That shows His mercy, His care. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4 testing shows so much and clearly what a merciful, gracious God the Lord is. He bears long with sinners. How we should be moved about this. All the texts in the Bible which say, give ear, hear, be sure to listen, take heed. Incline your ear to me, etc., etc. It all brings out the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto Him and be attentive to His Word. Really attentive. And to hear and understand the gospel message and to believe and to be saved and to be living in a fruitful and God-honoring way, renewed and reconciled and redeemed children of God, fruitful to His praise. This was obviously Jesus' whole mindset and attitude in all His teaching ministry, even as He was giving His life a ransom for many. Does it melt your heart too that God obviously so cares about us, also now today, coming with His Word to us as given in the parable of the sower? One more point to mention yet, in connection with Jesus, the teacher of this parable, with its call truly to hear His Word, the call and all the repeated calls of Scripture truly to listen to the message of God's Word without question brings out also, doesn't it, how God's Word is surely so important for us all. If you and I have a message for someone that is not very important, then when you can't get through to the person, you generally just decide to forget it. Isn't that true? But if you have a message for someone that he or she just needs to hear, no matter what, well, then you persist on trying to reach that person. If you can't get them on the house phone, you'll try them on the cell phone. And if you can't get them that way, you try voicemail and texting and email. And if you still don't go through that way, you call the extended family or the workplace. Because the message is so urgent and important, the person just has to get it. Isn't something of that now reflected also in God's repeated calling to people to hear and listen to His Word? The Word and message of God has to bring, that God has to bring us as found in all the Scriptures and as revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior, the crucified and risen one, the only Savior of sinners. It's so urgent and it's so all important, you see. It's really a matter of life and death for us. The way of wisdom as opposed to the way of folly. The way of usefulness as opposed to the way of uselessness. The way to heaven as opposed to the way to hell. The way of deliverance rather than the way of destruction. And even so, God, you see, He graciously, repeatedly implores and insists you and I hear His word. The Lord goes out of His way, you see, that we really do hear it. Every Sunday again, too, in a special way, God comes to us through the preaching, calling us to hear His word, to understand it, to hear it in a way that we understand it and receive it and believe it and follow it. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Will you listen? Are you listening now to the great gospel teacher who through His human ambassadors, weak and sinful instruments in themselves, will yet speak with the word of life. Speak to you the word of the living God. Well, we thought about the teacher bringing this word, this parable. Let's move next to the teaching Jesus here gives us in this parable. The parable of the sower, also because of Jesus' added interpretation given with it in all three gospel accounts, is not that difficult to interpret. The sower is God. The seed is His gospel word. And the four soils refer to four ways of hearing and responding to God's word. Jesus portrays for us here in this parable three wrong ways of listening to God's word. And the three ways He mentions are so real to life. And so typical of us. Apart from God's grace. And if we are not very careful and prayerful about listening well. The parable about different ways of hearing God's word shows the Lord knows what we people are like. It reveals nothing is unknown to Him. And His words about wrong hearing should serve as such loving, convicting warnings to us. Truly to hear His word. And really to listen well every time again. With Jesus' teaching here, let's look more closely at the three wrong ways of listening and the one right way of listening. There is a wrong way of not really hearing because of your mind being preoccupied with so much else. The seed of God's word that falls on the wayside, which is snatched up immediately before it even hits the ground, represents the unresponsive hearer to God's word. It refers to the person whose mind and heart is so totally filled with other things. Is that maybe and mostly how you come to church too? And how you hear in God's word, not only in church, but between church, between Sundays. You go to church, yes, because you were raised to do so, but you don't come to listen. Your ears are closed before the minister starts. Maybe you see the sermon time as catch-up time. Sleep time. You had an extra hour last night, but it's not enough. You need more. Or maybe it's just doodling time. Or maybe it's distracting others' time for you. Maybe it's your time when you're so busy thinking about the week past or what you did last night or what you hope to do this afternoon or how much money you hope to make next week or that outing that you planned with your friends, the fun you hope to have doing this or that. Or maybe even your mind is just so busy with the responsibilities and cares of life that you face. And you just don't think about really hearing God's word. Jesus warns us. Wow, you are not busy with God's word, even as it is read or preached. The devil is busy making sure you keep preoccupied in all those other things. Like the birds that come and snatch up the seed that falls on hard surfaces, Satan has countless ways to keep us unresponsive to God's word and not really listening. He can make you think it's all way too difficult and confusing. And with your ongoing questions and doubts and today's world philosophy and lie that there's no such thing as absolute truth. And we never can know what is true. Even so, you stay not listening, and you remain uncommitted to what is clearly most reasonable and most true always. You know, Satan can also work making you mostly critical of the speaker or of the service in general, so that you always come with more or less a negative attitude, and as a result, you don't really listen. Or you can fall into the trap of having something or someone of this life as such an obsession for you that all you think about, even during the sermon time, is that obsession, whatever it is, or whoever it may be. Whatever means the devil uses, you being uninterested anyway, Satan's a master to work on you further, so that as listener you go on, unresponsive to God's word and call, not really listening. Could this be a description of any listeners here this morning? What should you do about this kind of hearing and the constant danger of it in each and all of our lives? Well, we must pray and we must act decisively, not so to listen to God's word. Being forewarned, let us be on the alert. And by all means, take care not to be an unresponsive wayside hearer of the gospel. You are responsible to be a true listener. And with all the struggles to be that, we should be much in prayer that the Lord will open our ears to His word, and that Satan and this world and our flesh not have a dulling influence on us. Is it not helpful to prepare ourselves, to be all attentive whenever God's word is read and taught and preached to us? Why not wind down from the week's activities on time Saturday nights? And take time Sunday mornings, individually and as families, to have some moments in prayer and scripture and possibly even in song before coming to church to worship, to hear His word. I guarantee you it will help you be not a calloused, indifferent hearer. Even what you decide to think about and talk about in the car on the way to church can make a difference whether you listen or not in church. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. The parable of the sower is not about four different types of people or about four different types of people, yes, but it's about four different types of hearing God's word. And the Lord is saying, you are responsible how you listen. And one way not to listen is in a callous, careless, unresponsive way. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Even if you've been this first type of hearer for so long, let today be the beginning of a change. Pray God it be so. And make every effort that it be so. Will you, each and all? Younger ones, and older ones, and everyone in between. Jesus tells revealingly of another type of wrong hearing. And that is the hearing that you might call shallow, superficial hearing. Here's where the word falls on a very thin layer of soil, as Jesus says, with hard rock underneath, so that the word, it may spring up quickly, but it doesn't take root because it has no opportunity for that. There's no opportunity really to take root and be rooted for growth and fruitfulness. With this kind of hearing of the word, Jesus tells us people show some interest, yes, likely, and appreciation for the word. There is something that happens, but it's never applied to self, really, the word. And it doesn't lead to personal conviction and repentance from sin and personal faith and devotion to the Lord. It's a hearing of the word generally just focused on a quick fix from a problem that you may be having. And it's more focused on religious activities and all kinds of emotions and superficial reasons to maybe get involved in the church thing. It quickly dies off when it doesn't suit you the way you like it. Being a superficial hearer with no rootedness means not really paying attention to the gospel, not really hearing the gospel. Sin is not seen then as an offensive, guilty, law-breaking matter before God. And salvation is not viewed as most necessary and obedience and commitment to the gospel cause and Christ the Savior is not seen as all that important, and belonging to His church is seen as unnecessary altogether. Doctrine in general, with the superficial hearers, is scorned. With these kinds of hearers, all too often when the excitement is gone, in one place, with one speaker, well then off you go to the next. Because it's all about you. It's not about God and your relationship with Him. And often when some challenges come your way from God's Word in a way that's too close to home, well, then you get offended and you find excuses to go elsewhere or to quit going to church altogether. Jesus mentions, doesn't He, affliction and persecution for the Word's sake, exposing stony ground hearers having no stick-to-itiveness in their faith life and sooner or later just fall away. Again, I need to stress here, the four soils Jesus speaks of in this parable do not represent four classes or characters of people, but rather they refer to four types of hearing. And the seed that fell on the stony ground that sprang up quickly, but then withered just as quickly, not having any root, represents the superficial hearing of the Word. How do you hear? How do you hear the Word? Are you aware of the danger of being only a superficial hearer? Do you too want by all means not to give God's Word only a shallow, superficial hearing that really doesn't result in true conversion and growing steadfastness in Christianity in your life? How do you listen? With indifference or with superficial hearing just? Or, as Jesus goes on to teach, another way of wrong hearing is hearing only half-heartedly, and letting other voices influence what you hear and interfere with and stifle the gospel message that you hear. Surely this is what Jesus means with the seed that fell on the soil when it sprang up. But then thorns sprang up with it too. And sooner or later those thorns and thistles choked out that seed of God's Word. This third category, congregation, refers to people listening to God's Word, but listening to so much else as well. And having that influence them just as much as everything else. How easy to listen to God's Word with only half an ear, allowing the pleasures and the treasures and the pressures of this world and this life to ensnare us from really, really listening and persevering in the way of listening. The third way of listening, you could say, is really about a double-hearted listening, with one ear to God's Word and one ear to the world. And as a result, you don't grow. No, the distracting powers of the world and of the flesh and the deceitfulness of riches and pleasures choke out that gospel Word from developing in us as God would have it and as we should have it. With this third type of hearing, what can happen is that your religion then becomes more just a custom and a ritual. The life of the Word and what looked like to be the life of faith is slowly but surely choked out and killed off by the attractions and the distractions of the world and just the cares and the busyness of life in this world. With this kind of hearing, you can say there's no crucifying power to the lust of the flesh and to the lust of this world. And there's all too little prioritizing of life around worship and God's holy Word. There's so much of here and now, both from lawful matters and things unlawful and worldly, that draw away your strength in the Lord and that sap the soul from love for God's Word and a life of union and communion with Him and service to Him. There's always things that take away that focus. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Are you hearing the Word as seed that fell on thorny ground, perhaps? Could that be? Someone wrote about this type of worldly hearing or half-hearted hearing, saying, quote, "A professing believer who's unconcerned about sin in his or her life and does not hate evil and love righteousness gives strong evidence that the soil of his heart is weedy. He will eventually discover that his love of the world and his identification with Christ's Word cannot coexist. If his faith is genuine, he will forsake the world. If it is not, his sin will choke out what knowledge of the Word he has sooner or later." The person who refuses to let go of his worldliness is a person in whom the seed of God's saving gospel has not found root and is in danger of being choked out altogether. You see, there's not soil enough in the human heart, so to speak, for both the thorns and ways of the world and the good seed of God's word. You can't serve two masters. That's what God's true people know too and care about, surely. Well, dear congregation, do you see with me here how revealing, relevant this call to hear, really to hear and keep hearing that God's word truly is? Do you see and hear with me Jesus' love in giving this parable of the sower, calling for us by all means to be all ears to God's word and not to be listening with unresponsive, careless hearing or superficial, shallow hearing and by no means either with worldly, half-hearted hearing? Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. The call to hear, really to hear and listen to God's word as given to us. Do you hear it and reflect it and model it? Giving the hearing to God's word as is certainly is due and is most beneficial to us. When we are true Christians and receptive hearers to God's word by God's grace, don't we all know of ourselves yet how we can so easily and naturally listen in one of the three and wrong, unfruitful, sinful ways to God's word rather than the only right way? But still, what marks God's true people, praise God, is that then you desire and you aim and you pray for and work on being a faithful, true listener to God's word. And here, let's think about that. The seed that falls on good soil. Jesus describes this category as those who hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. The seed that falls on good soil speaks of that hearing of God's word, where you ask repeatedly for the Lord to make His gospel word truly take root in your life, and where you make every effort also that it does take root, feeding yourself again and again with all that may help you truly to understand God's word and really to live by God's word. The good soil hearers in this parable are not just the lucky elect. No, but they are the humbly diligent who, by God's grace, realize nothing can be as important as truly hearing God's word. And who know we need God's Spirit with us to understand and to be savingly gripped by God's word. And who pray and work that they might be truly, truly receptive hearers to God's word, initially and all their life long. All such, says Jesus, will bear fruit to His praise. Fruits of repentance and faith and service in various ways and degrees. The call to God's, to hear God's word is a blessed call. Because hearing it truly and increasingly, you will never be put to shame. While hearing it not, and sadly and increasingly, you always only will be put to shame. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. The call to hear, really to hear God's word. Are you listening? Will you make yourself busy with it? Also in this coming season of winter. It's winter time. How busy and preoccupied, alas, we can make ourselves also in this coming season. And always be busy. But what are your priorities, personally and as families? Will you hear the call to hear and listen to God's word really as something uppermost in your life and something you will pursue to your uttermost? You with your families by God's grace. Then with life's busy schedule, you will be a man of prayer, because you will then realize we can so easily and naturally hear with the first three types of hearing. And we are of ourselves so slow and unwilling to hear with true hearing. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. Here we come to the message and aim, surely, of Jesus with this parable. The wonderful gospel truth that needs to be proclaimed here is, and that Jesus surely would bring forward with this parable, is that no one should lose heart looking to the Lord and calling to Him that we might be faithful and true, good soil hearers of the Word. Jesus is a great surgeon, hallelujah, for deaf ears and closed hearts. And He, through all of history and still today, can and does make His Word have saving, sanctifying, and fruit-bearing effect for all who call on Him. No matter how poor your hearing of God's Word has been to date, it can change today. God can plow up our naturally hard hearts through His law and gospel. And He can make the shallow heart deep and the cluttered heart clean. He can make those dull of hearing to be really hearing. Luke speaks of the gospel seed falling on good ground. That seed falling on, quote, honest and good hearts. And we know, don't we? The Bible teaches us we can only have such born again, honest and good hearts from the Lord by the working of His grace and Holy Spirit and His regenerating, renewing work in our hearts and lives. And this is what we may ask for and pray for. Not only for ourselves, but for our children and children's children and for all who come to church and for all around us too. Isn't it something we should be praying for, not only initially, but continually in regards to ourselves and others as well? It's important here too that we do not wrongly conclude from this parable of the sower that actually about 3/4 of this gospel seed in this world will just not be fruitful, falling on sinful hearers who never become saved. And that God somehow even designed it that way. No, God's Word is always effective and fruitful. And it's reading wrongly into this parable to think that there's going to be, you know, 3/4 not going to be saved. The parable's point is not that. The parable's point is in a setting of so much hard-heartedness against the Word, and it urges and pleads for truly hearing God's Word and living joyfully and fruitfully in the way of God's Word by His grace and Spirit and power. And the parable is told also in the perspective of the promise that one day, by God's grace and power through Jesus Christ the Lord, there will be an abundant harvest. Indeed, a multitude which no man can number from all over the world, from every race and tribe and nation, who by grace received and believed God's Word and endured in the way of God's Word unto the end. The parable of the sower, congregation, declares God is yet out to save sinners and to bless His gospel word in a saving and fruitful way. But when God works savingly, always He has us pay close attention to His word and to realize our great responsibility in this regard. The parable is about our human responsibility in the context of the gospel of sovereign grace. And God's people know when they become more than guilty, unresponsive hearers or superficial hearers or worldly hearers, but rather instead genuine hearers and growing hearers, then that's of the Lord and of His redeeming grace. If I may hear, it's not because I have such noble, good soil in my heart. No, because God's been merciful to me. And as He's been merciful to me, He can be merciful to all according to His pleasure. Jesus' parable of the sower with its urgent call to us truly to listen to His Word and to believe it and to obey it and to live accordingly is something that God in Christ Jesus by His Holy Spirit can work and does work for as many as look to Him and call out to Him. Jesus Himself is the Savior of sinners who only always perfectly listened to God's Word and yet suffered and died in the place of sinners who miserably fail listening to His Word. This Heavenly Father welcomes all to come to Him who will listen to the voice and words of His Son, the one and only Savior of sinners. My sheep hear My voice, said Jesus in John 10, and I know them, and they follow Me. Do you hear His voice? The call to hear the gospel and all God's Word for real. Will you hear this call? And will you live that others may hear it too? The parable of the sower is the parable about parables. And if you don't take this teaching of Jesus most seriously, you won't take any teaching of God's Word rightly. There is no excuse for not listening carefully and rightly to God's Word. Not when you hear the full gospel message, where God promises graciously to give what He calls us to do. And there's every reason, dear congregation belonging to Christ, to listen and believe and live by God's Word. When you realize also the fullness of that gospel message and our desperate need to hear that Word of the Lord initially and constantly. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Are you listening? Oh, if also with this message, you must honestly say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening, really, to what you were saying. Then let me urge you, get a copy of the message and listen again, truly. And listen, asking God by His Holy Spirit to bless His Word as the seed of regeneration when not yet saved, or as food for the soul when saved. For sure, none of us can afford or allow fruitless hearing of God's Word. Not ever. And listening truly? Oh, that will result in so much blessing for this life and the life to come by God's grace. Jesus said so. And He cannot lie. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Amen. Psalter 334, 1 and 4. Before prayer this morning, I invite you to just look with me on page 107 in the back of the Psalter, and what we confess in the Canons of Dort in Article 9 and 10. And then I'm going to have for my prayer the little poem that I have in the bulletin. But let me read Article 9 and 10, page 107, very relevant to our sermon and the passage of this morning. Article 9, it is not the fault of the Gospel, nor of Christ offered therein, nor of God, who calls men by the gospel and confers upon them various gifts, that those who are called by the ministry of the word refuse to come and be converted. The fault lies in themselves, some of whom, when called, regardless of their danger, reject the word of life. Others, though they receive it, suffer it not, allow it not to make a lasting impression on their heart. Therefore, their joy, arising only from a temporary faith, soon vanishes and they fall away. While others choke the seed of the word by perplexing cares and the pleasures of this world and produce no fruit. This our Savior teaches in the parable of the sower. Article 10. But that others who are called by the gospel obey the call and are converted is not to be ascribed to the proper exercise of free will, whereby one distinguishes himself above others, equally furnished with grace sufficient for faith and conversions, as the proud heresy of Pelagius maintains. But it must be wholly ascribed to God, who as He has chosen His own from eternity in Christ, so He confers upon them faith and repentance, rescues them from the power of darkness, and translates them into the kingdom of His own Son, that they may show forth the praises of Him who has called them out of darkness into His marvelous light, and may glory not in themselves, but in the Lord, according to the testimony of the apostles in various places.